Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about lifting your vibration, taking inspired action, and moving forward to create the life that you want after a toxic relationship. Today, we are going to talk about something that I think a lot of us have dealt with and something that you asked me to talk about during our last live stream. For those of you who are new around here, I just want to let you know a couple things. We will do about 15 minutes of content, and then I'm going to read the cards for the day, which you'll see what I'm talking about if you haven't seen them before. And then I'm going to open up for questions and chat, talk to all of y'all for the next 30 minutes or so. So let us jump in. And also today I will be doing a second live stream about 10 minutes after this one over at Narcissistic Abuse Recovery by Queen Being channel. And I'll link that to you afterward. All right, so let's just jump right into our content and then we will jump into the chat, shall we? All right, so I'm gonna start out by letting you know, in the depths of my toxic relationship, as I was going through the most painful parts of narcissistic abuse, I kind of went numb, right? I didn't seem like I was functioning like a regular person. I did what I had to do. I did the bare minimum to get by. I almost felt kind of robotic. And when I finally got the nerve to leave, and I did it, which I was really proud of myself for, I thought, oh, everything's gonna change. My life's about to get a whole lot better. And I really tried to sort of act as if, as a lot of these law of attraction coaches will tell you to do, act as if, and then you will be that, right? Well, that didn't work for me, because just under the surface, there was this like anxiety bubbling up all the time. And this was related to the idea of socializing and going out in public. Now, I stopped taking care of myself in certain ways as a result of this stress and anxiety and kind of depression that I was going through as I was trying to figure out what had just happened to me and what my life was going to be now, because all of a sudden I was a scared to death single mom, you know, 23 years old. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I did shower every day, but only because I didn't want people to talk about me at work, because I had no choice but to have a job. I had a small child to take care of, had to support him and whatnot. So I would only put on clean clothes because I had to go to work. And again, I didn't want people to talk about me because social anxiety, right? I stopped wearing makeup. I stopped caring about the way I looked, except for I just made sure I was clean. That's it. And that's very unlike me if you know me as a person today or any other part of my life. I've always been, you know, the sort of person that does her hair and makeup before she goes out in public at the very least, but I didn't for a while there. Now, during that time when it was the weekend, and this actually continued for a long time, on the weekends I would do anything I could to avoid leaving the house. I made sure I did my grocery shopping during the week. I made sure I had everything I needed in the house so I didn't have to leave. So I didn't shower over the weekends. I didn't get dressed. I didn't even want to get out of bed, if I'm being honest. I felt like what I was going through, going to work, shopping for groceries, taking care of this kid, taking him to daycare, doing all the things I had to do. My gosh, I thought, oh, I need a break. I just need a break. And so I would just do nothing on the weekends. And essentially, if I could avoid leaving the house, I did. I only left the house if I had no choice on the weekends. And I thought, you know, I'm taking care of myself by doing this. This is what I need right now. And in some ways, it was what I needed right then. But what I was doing wrong was I was avoiding all the social situations I had an opportunity to be part of. If I wasn't forced to be there, I wouldn't be there. Quite honestly, if I'm being honest, if I didn't need to pay the bills for that child, I most likely would have done anything in my power to just stay home all the time. I didn't want to leave the house. I found myself thinking stuff like, I wish I never had to leave the house. Why do I have to have a job outside the house? Of course, this is before I started my business. This is many years ago. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't know what to do. I was asking myself stuff like, am I just lazy? How do I stop being lazy and start trying to live again? And what the heck is wrong with me? I couldn't figure it out. And I wonder, can you relate to this? Because if you can, obviously you're not alone. I've been there, and so have a lot of other survivors of narcissistic abuse. We feel just like that when we leave a toxic relationship, but we often don't know why. And then of course, those of us who are still in that relationship very often feel just like that as well. For me, I kind of went numb, but if I'm thinking back and being honest with you in hindsight, I didn't want to leave the house much then either. I only did because I would have to go and buy things for the house, and I worked a part-time job and that was it. So I felt really stuck. I felt during the relationship, it was related partially to being stuck, but partially also to not wanting to explain to anyone what I was going through. And so I would avoid my friends, I would avoid family members, I would avoid everyone who might be able to see what I was going through or see that something was wrong, because I didn't want to explain myself, you understand? But my question, and I think your question then became, what causes this? Is this agoraphobia? Is this something else? What could this be? Well, here's the thing. When you're abused by a toxic narcissist, you might find yourself feeling overwhelmed just by the idea of leaving the house or doing anything at all. But the thing is that contrary to popular belief, this doesn't mean you have agoraphobia or any other mental illness. And I want you to really hear me on this. The depression that you're going through that makes you feel stuck can be caused, and the anxiety can be caused directly by the narcissistic abuse that you experienced and by the stress of going through recovery and separating from that person and all that stuff. Not to mention the anxiety and the general adrenal stress that comes along with all of that. So even the most basic stuff like going to the grocery store can feel incredibly overwhelming. And you might find that you prefer to be alone a lot of the time. I know I did. I still like to be alone a little bit. I mean, I need an hour a day at least of completely just by myself time where nobody's talking to me or needing anything from me. You know what I'm saying? But that is self-care. This is staying inside and never leaving the house is not really that healthy. We're going to get to that. But who could blame you for feeling that way? I mean, I couldn't blame myself even back then because it is incredibly exhausting mentally, physically, and otherwise to deal with narcissistic abuse and to deal with anyone who has suspected NPD or anyone who we believe might be a toxic person. So someone who lives with us, doesn't show us any empathy, treats us like we're worthless, and then leaving that person is a whole other kind of stress. You know, they say things like divorce can be more stressful for you than actually, you know, someone in your life dying. And so throw a toxic relationship on top of that, trauma bonding, all that stuff, whoo, you're in one heck of a cocktail. Recovery has so many of its own challenges that we often stay stuck in these negative patterns unless we intentionally choose to start to work through it and get out of there, you know, move forward out of those negative patterns. But with all that being said, I think it's really important that we define agoraphobia really quickly. All right. So the official definition is a type of anxiety disorder in which you fear and often avoid places or situations that might cause you to panic and make you feel trapped, helpless, or embarrassed. Other definitions I read said things like it's a fear of having a panic attack in public, et cetera, et cetera. But again, agoraphobia does not always mean that you're not able to leave the house. There are agoraphobics who are diagnosed who do leave the house. But the not leaving the house part can be an extreme complication of extreme symptoms, including anxiety and stuff like this, of agoraphobia, right? When we're talking about people who are on the more extreme end. And I remember I met one lady who had agoraphobia when I was a child, and she was the wife of someone that we went to visit, and they had a pool in the backyard, and it was really nice, and she cooked us a really nice dinner. But she couldn't even go out and join us on the deck of the pool, which was right outside her back door, because she was that agoraphobic. And that was just, I felt so sorry for her, but I didn't fully understand why she was like that. I still don't actually know her particular reasons, because as far as I could tell, she was in a pretty healthy relationship. But then again, I was a child, so how do I know? But you might have other anxiety disorders related to your toxic relationship, you know, as opposed to agoraphobia, such as social anxiety disorder, which is very common, generalized anxiety disorder, and more. And I want to just point out, social anxiety disorder is a known side effect of CPTSD, which a lot of us, whether we're diagnosed or not, might have, right? We have symptoms of that. So that's possible. But before we continue, I just want to say this. If you are experiencing symptoms of panic attacks or agoraphobia or social anxiety disorder or anything else, the right thing to do is to first find a doctor to make sure that there aren't any other medical problems involved, make sure you go see a professional doctor, a medical professional. Then check in, once you're cleared there, check in with a mental health professional, a therapist or psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, to get a diagnosis and start treatment if necessary. And then if you are diagnosed, take the time to learn everything you can about your own disorder, because you might be surprised at some of the self-help things you can do, okay? With all that being said, whether it is about depression, anxiety, or just plain old exhaustion, or it's something else, it's agoraphobia, it's whatever, there are certain things that you might want to, certain self-help things that you might want to do that can help you to start to get moving. And if it is not yet to the point of agoraphobia, well, maybe this is a way you can start to change that and kind of move in a different direction, right? So what do you do if you can't leave the house anymore? Well, if you're feeling depressed, tired, stuck, or just unmotivated or whatever, start here. I'm going to give you some tips, okay? First thing you need to remember is that these issues, along with a number of other factors, will cause you to not want to leave the house, the things we've just discussed, or can. And there are a lot of things, like I said, self-help that you can do. So in the short term, you can try things like pattern interrupts. And if you don't know what pattern interrupts are, you can, I'll give you a couple. And then you can go, after this video, you can go go to YouTube search and type Angie Atkinson pattern interrupt. And you'll see a video called NLP, it's called When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Use NLP or something like that. And what it is pattern interrupts. So it will, stuff like if you're in the middle of a mess and you're stressed out and you don't know what to do and you don't want to leave, you know, or if you are already out and you start to panic, one really good thing, you can say, find all the pink things in a room or all the orange things or whatever, all the things of one color, count them. Or maybe you can take a deep breath and walk into a different part of the house or walk into a different part of the store, wherever you're at. Or you can, if you're still home, you can brush your teeth, brush your hair, take a quick shower, go for a walk, whatever. Change your environment a little bit. Those are good pattern interrupts. But out in public, I think, and I heard another really good one the other day, and I can't remember what it was, but if you know other little tips like that, throw those in the chat. And baby steps, always helpful for moving in the right direction. But I've got a few other things for you. So the first tip is to meditate and get calm before you leave the house. Whatever meditation looks like for you. Like for me, it's more like moving and hearing music at the same time, walking or whatever. That's how I clear my head. Clear your head is my point. Whatever that works. Sometimes you sit down and you do the om thing, whatever it is for you, do that. Number two, give yourself plenty of time to get ready. Don't rush because that's stressful. And make sure that you feel good about how you look, or at least that you're okay with how you look, because just it'll be one less thing you have to worry about when you're out in public. Number three, try listening to upbeat, happy music before you leave. Personally, I love the sassy songs, and they really help me feel empowered sometimes. And if you want to know, well, now this list has a lot of other songs added by other people, but my original playlist is called, my original happy playlist is called Good Morning Beautiful, and it has a bunch of songs on it that I put on it, but there are now new songs added to it. I guess other survivors have added songs to it. You can see that at queenbeing.com/playlist if you're ever interested in what songs I like and apparently some other survivors like. But maybe you'd rather do calming and relaxing songs. Either way is okay. Just do what feels right to you. If music is very powerful for changing the way we feel, and for me, it's great for, you know, getting me in the right kind of state of mind for stuff like this. Just do what feels right to you. Number four, take some time to think about yourself, visualize yourself being successful in your social interactions. So if you are, like, let's say you're going to go to a work function, a work party, and you're stressed out about it, you know, you're feeling anxious about it, oh, it's going to be terrible, everybody's going to look at me, everything's going to be crazy. Instead of that, change your mind, clear that out of your head, and try to think about what would happen if you were successful at this function. What would happen if you went to the club or you went to the grocery store even, and it was a successful. Imagine yourself being successful in your social interactions. Visualize it. That can really help a great deal. And then number five, prepare stuff to say. So know how you're going to greet people, and know how you're going to, like, have a few casual conversation ideas in mind. You know, you can find some good ideas by checking out the news or just figuring out some other topics that, you know, depending on where you're going, maybe it's a work thing, you talk about work stuff, maybe it's a, you know, PTA thing, you're talking about the kids, whatever, that think about a few topics ahead of time that can, that aren't like super touchy, that you don't want any conflict, but topics that will help you to kind of just get the conversation flowing and that are easy to discuss. However, if you feel like you're at a loss and you don't know what to say to people, ask them about themselves or their kids or their lives, because everybody likes to talk about themselves. And as an added benefit to this, the people who, you know, you're talking to and you're asking questions to, they will automatically feel a little warmer toward you if you ask them questions about themselves and you actually listen to the answers, and that'll make the conversation flow easier as well. Something to think about. So if you don't have anywhere to go, let's say that, you know, outside of going to the grocery store, you don't know where else to go and you don't even want to go anywhere anyway. Well, I've got a few suggestions for that as well. First of all, you could try a part-time job if you don't already have a job. So, I mean, not only do we all need to eat, but nobody minds a little extra cash here and there. So you can make a few extra bucks, force yourself to get out of the house with a low-stress part-time job. So maybe if talking on the phone doesn't bother you, you work at a call center, although I'm not going to lie, that's probably a higher stress job than it sounds like. I worked at one in college. Woo, crazy. Or maybe you work at a grocery store or a local restaurant, you know, whatever, something, unless you have some kind of a career that you're obviously already in, that's different. But if you're just looking for something to just kind of keep you busy, find something close to home, something that you don't mind doing. Maybe it's not the best job in the world, but you don't mind it. It's low stress, you know, and it'll make you go out and talk to people. And that's just really a big part of getting past this, you know. Another thing you can do, and I think, you know, if you aren't in the need, if you don't need to make a bunch of extra money for some reason, or if someone else is helping you, or you're independently wealthy or whatever, or you just want a little something extra, you can volunteer at an animal shelter or a nursing home or anything. In high school, I volunteered for an animal shelter and found it really fulfilling. I mostly worked with the cats. I love the cats. and it was a no-kill shelter, so I felt like it was ethically okay for me to work there. You know what I mean? I was cleaning the cages, and it wasn't bad. And I not only did I get to interact with animals that I loved, but I also got to meet a few other people who equally loved the animals. Do you know what I'm saying? And so that was really cool for me. And they were people who were older than me, but it was really cool. One of my clients who was previously considered herself agoraphobic, she couldn't leave the house like at all. She did the same thing. And today, this woman, I'm so incredibly proud of her. Girl, if you're watching, you know who you are. She has done such amazing things with herself, but one of the first things she did to get out of the house was she went and volunteered at an animal shelter. So if that's a thing for you, try it out, consider it. But another thing, if you're like allergic to cats and dogs, or you're just not a pet person, like I said, go work at a nursing home, go volunteer at a nursing home, you know, sit with people in the day room and hear their stories and hang out with the residents, because a lot of people in nursing homes get left there by their families. Families get busy. Even if they're very loved, they don't always see the people as much as they'd like to. And they just sometimes want to talk to someone new. And it would be a lower stress and lower, you know, slower paced environment for you to practice in. And if you feel nervous talking too much to people, you can always just, you know, tell me about your life. Tell me about this or tell me about that. Listen to their stories. Because I got to be honest with you, for me, listening to someone who has lived before me and who has stories that I can't relate to, or I shouldn't say can't relate to, stories of things that I haven't experienced, I find that incredibly fascinating. And I'm always interested in history anyway, but even if that person is just a little bit older than you, because I know a lot of times people in nursing homes are not ancient. So some of them are there for different reasons, health issues, whatever. You can learn new things from people, you know, any age, people of any age, and also you can make new friends and still, you know, do some good in the world at the same time. And just, this isn't even in my notes, but another thing you can do is if you can pass whatever background checks, and I'm sure you'll have to pass background checks to work, to volunteer at the nursing home as well, I think, I don't know. But I know you would if you like volunteered at a preschool or something, but I know like my kids, they all went to a private preschool, and it was a church ran it, but it was like the best one in town, and they had to be on a waiting list to get into it and everything. And I know that some people would volunteer there. They had to go through a background check, of course, to make sure they were not bad people. But they went there and volunteered and hung out with the kids and, you know, would take them, do little activities with them and stuff like that. And that's really good for you as well if that's something that interests you. All right, anyway, number three, you can join a meetup group at meetup.com or anything else. You know, any other local group doing something that you love to do. Maybe you want to play volleyball or you want to do paint and sip or whatever. Join a group that's doing that stuff. Not only can you meet new people, but you'll do something you enjoy, and it might be more of an enticement for you to get out of the house because you're going to do something fun that you love to do. Something to think about. I forgot my darn coffee. Speaking of coffee, number four, go have coffee with a friend or go have dinner. If you have a friend or a neighbor or someone, even if it's just kind of an acquaintance, you know, invite them out. Hey, you know, there's a new coffee shop. Do you want to go try that? Or even, you know, I'm not a big drinker myself, but if you are, if you don't mind, I don't mind having a drink sometimes, but if you want to have a drink or whatever, you can go, you know, invite your friend to go have a drink. And again, keep this platonic for now, because unless you're already to the point where you're ready to date, it could just cause you more stress if you jump into a relationship too fast. So keep that in mind. And number five, walk your dog at the, you know, a dog park or just around your neighborhood even, or join a gym, anything like that where you're kind of getting out of your house to do some physical activity. And I know a lot of times if you walk your dog in a dog park, not every town has a dog park, so you might just be in your neighborhood, but people walk dogs, and if you're walking your dog and you see another dog person, you can say hey. You know, even that much can help you to feel just a little bit less alone in the world and to feel like you've done something productive. And of course your dog will thank you. Or if you're not a dog person, join the gym, you know, or a class, you know, maybe a ballet class. Do they have those for adults? Or an exercise class, or one of those personal training groups that you meet in the park and you guys run and do all the things, whatever it is. So those are some ideas, which brings me to the question of the day. Excuse me. Dry throat. The question of the day is, what would you add to this list? So tell me in the chat right now, tell me in the comments if you're watching later, what kinds of tips do you have if you have experienced agoraphobia? What kinds of tips do you have that would help you, or I shouldn't call it agoraphobia, if you've experienced the not being able to leave the house thing, whether it was because of agoraphobia or anxiety or whatever it was, social anxiety, depression, what got you out of the house if you've done this before? And if you haven't, what are your struggles? Let me know and let's talk about it. All right. And now you know what time it is, right? That's right. It's time to read the cards. Ba-dum-bump. So I'm going to just grab those really quick. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Let's see here. So we have, to begin with, the Dialectical Behavior Skills Therapy Deck. Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills deck. You'd think I'd know this by now. Again, this will be linked in the description below when this video goes live again, but you don't need to buy it because I will share every card with you over the next several weeks. Today, we are on number 36, which is an emotional regulation skill. I'm going to ask you to give me one quick second here. I think that's better. And this one says, grab your pen or your pencil and your paper, because I want you to take a note here, because this is your homework for today. All right. Be mindful of your emotions without judgment. This might actually be really handy if you're struggling with this. And you know, I don't choose my topics based on my cards, and I don't choose my cards ahead of time. These ones I'm just going through one at a time. They're numbered, and the affirmations I randomly pull out of the deck, so it's interesting. Anyway, so number 36 is, be mindful of your emotions without judgment. Relax using mindful breathing. Then focus on how you're feeling and any related physical sensations. Notice any judgments and let them float away like leaves on a stream. You have a right to feel your emotions. Observe your emotions change naturally without judging them. Practice today for 5 minutes. That's a really good one, right? All right. And next up, it is time for the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck. And this is our affirmation of today that I've just pulled out. And look at that card. Isn't that pretty? I don't know if you can see it. Let me see. Can you see it? Yeah, there you go. This one says, my greatest, now write this down because this is your affirmation for today. My greatest spiritual shifts don't come through force, they come through freedom. That is so good. My greatest spiritual shifts don't, shifts, not strengths, my bad. Let me say that again. My greatest spiritual shifts don't come through force, they come through freedom. That's hard to say, spiritual shifts. Okay, anyway, there it is. Right? Okay. Now I'm going to jump in the chat for a little while, and then we're going to move over to that other channel. All right. So let me pull. Hey, Jack Lumen, I'm so glad you made it today. I guess me being late was a, let me apologize for being late this morning, y'all. I do apologize for that. It has been kind of a weird morning. No good excuse. Just got behind with all the things I was working on. Hey, Shelly Taylor, Shred Squad. Apparently, I'm having trouble with SHs today. Yeska, Martha, Shannon. Oh, I said Shannon, right? Good morning, you guys. What's for tea? Hey, welcome back. Thank you for being here. Roderick Williams, welcome. Shout out the Bronx. Right on. Hey, Andrea. Hey, Jerry. Welcome, welcome. Andrea, I'm happy to see you back again. Joy is in the house. Judy, hello, hello. She says, yes, healing growth. Let's get this part started. Yes, indeed. This is what we are here for. Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie. Welcome. Kelly Marie Wood in the house. Welcome, welcome. She needs help on this. This is good news. This is why I'm here. Yes, Martha. So true. Acting as if is harder than we think. And I think a lot of times, a lot of these law of attraction gurus, which I do not consider myself a law of attraction guru, but I am a fan. But I think that people misunderstand a lot of things. In fact, yeah, I know that they do. A lot of people think that you could just wish for something and it will happen. I don't believe that to be true. And acting as if can work, but only if you have resolved whatever issue or you're resolving whatever issue. I think pretending you're okay and not really being okay is not really healthy. And so you're right. It is so much easier said than done, for sure. Kimberly, hello and welcome, says you are so helpful to me. Narcissist abuse has been my old life cycle. I'm happy to hear you say that it's previous. Kimberly, welcome, welcome. Shelly says, I don't think that works, the law of attraction, until you let go and heal. And I know I resonate with the struggle. Yes, that is so true. You can certainly use the law of attraction to your advantage. However, if you're still hurting inside and you're still, you know, you can only shove your emotions down for so long before they're gonna come out, you know. And so if you just intentionally let yourself feel them and work through them, my gosh, it's so much better, y'all. It's so much better. Okay. Okay. I totally agree with you, Shell. Let's see here. Life is a journey. Let it go. Hello and welcome back. Says, I can relate. Yep. Jerry says, I love your honesty. I've been there too. I have learned the hard way that just being straight up real with you guys is the best way to be. I don't try to hide myself. I'm just, here I am. Ask me anything. And if I don't want to answer, I'll tell you. But if I do, you know, most of the time I'll just tell you. I'm pretty much an open book these days. Let's see here. Martha says, I can relate completely. Ted says, yes. Hey, Ted. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Shelly says, oh, we have two Shelly Taylors in the house. Hey, we have Shelly T and Shelly Taylor. That's cool. Same name. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, we have a Shelly with an EY and a Shelly with a Y. Okay, so they're close. They're close. Let's see. And we have Shelly G. We are full of Shelly today. Sorry, I have a stupid sense of humor. Did you guys know that about me? I do. Danielle. Hey, Danielle. Welcome, welcome, welcome. She says, exactly, so real. Right on. Life is a Journey says, I'm happy I caught alive finally. Okay, so maybe we have two Life is a Journeys in the house. Because I know there's another Life is a Journey who does hang out, but not Life is a Journey, Let It Go. I thought you just added on to the name. So thank you for identifying that and welcome. Shelly says, another Shelly. We have some Shellys. Okay. Bama Sweet. Hey, I wonder if you're who I think you are. Welcome. Or welcome back. Martha's still in bed today. Yeah, Martha, I feel you. I hope you're doing okay. Let's see. Chris says, after false, prophetic, toxic, narcissistic remarried and forgotten all about me, barren ex-wife, I can't get a suitable new woman without a miracle or leave home except church shopping or appointments. All right, Chris. Well, stick with us and let's try to help you get through this. I don't know the whole story. At least I don't recall the whole story. But I do know that this is a process and it takes some time. So stay strong, stick with us. Shelly T, we haven't, she says, first and last, same place and time, odd. Isn't it though? It's one of those things. How weird that this suggested video just came up while we're live. That's weird. All right. Anyway, weird. Okay. Bella V, life is beautiful. What a cool name. Says, I can relate so much. Right. Andrea Stewart, getting ready to leave. Yes. Good for you. Stay strong. We got your back emotionally anyway. Kelly Marie Wood says, yes, this is me. Exactly. Edna, hello. How have you guys been, says Shelly. All right. Andrea says, like, this week I'm so scared. Oh, honey, I totally remember how that feels. And it is scary, but worth it. You will not. Once you get through the hard part of actually leaving, you'll feel a sense of relief. You will still need to go through the process of, you know, processing your emotions and all that stuff. But this is the hardest part right now. The actual leaving is the hardest part. The rest, it's gravy. Just be careful, be safe, stay strong. Don't let them know where you are if that's something that you're, you know, if you're worried about your physical safety. Just be careful and keep your eye on the prize, which is your freedom emotionally and otherwise, you know? Okay. Kara Wilmington says, I can relate. Yep, I feel you, girl. Still here with procrastination and clutter everywhere. Kara, this is something that we all go through. In fact, I've done videos just recently about procrastination and clutter because we all do go through it. And you know, the first thing to do is stop judging yourself. Stop beating yourself up for it and be compassionate and recognize this is a symptom of what you experienced and that you can resolve it if you choose to. And if it gets too bad, don't be scared to go talk to your doctor. And, you know, look, I'm not an advocate of medicine, but I'll tell you this. When I left my ex, I was much younger. I truly did not understand a lot of things. And I certainly got very depressed for a while. And I went to my doctor and I talked about it. They gave me Prozac. For 6 months, it was okay. It helped me. I started taking it. And within a month, one day I got up and I put on my makeup again. Almost like I didn't even realize I was doing it. And I was functioning like a normal person. And in about six months late, you know, after I started it, my great aunt died, and she was someone I had been very close to growing up, and I couldn't shed a single tear. And I knew that I had to stop at that point. So I talked to my doctor again, and I said, you know, I need to get off this medicine. It's making me not have emotions. And at that point, I was, I guess, healing enough that I was able to function without it. So the doctor weaned me off of it in a specific way, because, you know, you can't just stop taking an antidepressant safely. You have to talk to your doctor and wean yourself off safely. Otherwise, there are a lot of risks for you. So just, again, talk to your doctor. But I did get off the medicine, and then I started to function more normally. But just to get me up kind of over the hump, get over the fact that, you know, I was spiraling, and it helped me. So if you're in that place where you're spiraling and you can't get out by yourself, just talk to your doctor or a holistic medical professional, whatever you're into, and check that out. I know some people say they've taken St. John's wort. Some people have, there's all different things you can do. And this is going to sound silly, but make sure you're drinking enough water. You would be shocked at how, the difference in the way you feel when you're hydrated versus dehydrated. And I think most of us don't drink enough water, so think about that too. But ultimately, I would suggest, you know, talk to someone that can help you with that part of it. Okay. And then What's for Tea says, once in a while, still, I don't mind going out. Sometimes I just want to avoid other humans. Yes, me too sometimes. Just not as much, not as much as it used to be, but or not so much anymore, but she's been there. Yeah, and that's the thing, What's for Tea. I still need my time. You know, I'm fine spending time by myself, but I'm not sad about it. You know what I mean? I in fact, need that every day. but I will go out if I want to go out or need to go out. Working from home certainly does not facilitate that. but I can really work from anywhere as long as there's an internet connection. So that's a plus. Or a phone. Sometimes I do, you know, I do a lot of client calls. But working from home gives me the freedom to be here for my kids and all this other stuff. It's just a choice I make. I actually looked into renting an office, but I thought, why spend the extra money if I don't need to? But I might in the future. We'll see. Anyway, Good morning, Jen Archer, representing the Mod Squad. I am happy that you are here. Nikki in the house. Michelle. Michelle gets it. She says, that's where I am. I'm exhausted. Yep, I've been there. What's for Tea says, the feeling lazy and not knowing why part. Yes. Yep. Still struggle with that on occasion. Sometimes I'm really being lazy, but sometimes there are other issues behind it. Martha says, I've had this happen before when I felt threatened. It didn't have to be a narcissist. That is a valid point. Thank you for bringing it up. Because, look, here's an example. If you, like, say, I don't know, say you're struggling to pay your bills, because that's what I was doing a lot when I was young. And if I was really scared about a bill, like, if I don't pay this, you know, they're going to turn off the electricity or whatever. I'm just making that up. I don't know. But I would be scared about not being able to pay a bill sometimes, because I'm like that. I really like to pay my bills on time. And so I would get physically sick. I would not want to leave the house. I would just want to curl up in a ball and make the world go away. Of course, it never works that way. But yeah, so I get that too. And sometimes it's other stuff is what I'm saying, not just people. Sometimes it's other stressful issues, and they make us just kind of want to come into ourselves and just stay away from everybody else. I get that. Let's see. John says, I'm a man and this is me. I can relate. Yeah, of course. It's not just a woman thing. it's a survivor thing. You know, it's somebody who's gone through, I mean, and quite honestly, I'm sure there are tons of people out there in the world who haven't gone through narcissistic abuse, who still feel depressed or angry or sad and whatever, and might feel stuck in their homes as well. I'm not saying it's just us, but I'm saying a large percentage of us have experienced something or some level, some amount of this. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like I said, for me, I had no choice. I had to go to work. I had to support that child by myself. And so I did. But I didn't like it, and I didn't try like I normally try to feel good about the way I looked or to feel to care at all. Really, I was just functioning. I was just getting through the days, y'all. Just getting through the days. That's it. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't see Carlo's comment. Michelle says it's so draining. Yes. Yes. Bonnie in the house, representing the Mod Squad. Welcome back, my friend. Happy to have you. Jen says, at least an hour a day. Yeah, at least an hour alone a day. And after going out around people, definitely more. Yes, for sure. And, you know, if I go out around people, this is going to sound funny. My kids do this thing where they come in wherever I'm at, they sit down and they just tell me all about their things. And I love that. But every now and then when I'm feeling like, for example, like tonight, or no, last night, one of my calls goes for 3 hours, and it's a longtime client. We have this deal, it's fine. But before that, I had another client, and I was, by the time I got off the 3-hour call, I was glad my kids had gone to sleep, because I was exhausted mentally. Not that I don't love this woman, I love this woman, but it's just after talking to someone for 3 hours, I'm tired. I need to be not talking or listening. Do you know what I mean? I need to just, so I get that, Jen. I totally get that. And that's just talking to somebody. That's not actually being out in public. That's a whole other ball of wax. But mostly I'm okay with that. But now, I don't stress about it too much. But I think it's interesting that these suggested videos are coming across my head when when I'm not, while I'm live streaming. I didn't know they would do that. And that's a new thing, I guess. Anyway, all right. Nikki says, 15th day narc free. Sleep is bad, but I'm optimistic. You go, girl. Proud of you. Everybody hands up for Nikki. And get some sleep, honey. Try not to overthink the sleep thing, because sometimes when we think about it too much, it forces us to not sleep. So think about that. All right. Yeah, what's for tea? Narcissistic cocktail, that's for true. Indeed. Caribbean D is back. Hey, welcome back, my friend. Caribbean D says, thank you for these videos and your passion to help. Well, thank you for being here, and I appreciate you, my friend. Let's see here. Good morning, Miss Bonnie, says Jen. Seeker Being says, did you have a lot of body pain after leaving, or did any of you have a lot of body pain after leaving your narcissist? I certainly did. And I know in hindsight that it was, in my case, it was probably mostly psychosomatic. I don't know if I should say that. I hurt. Physically, I hurt a lot during that time. But I was going through a lot of things. And I know that my trauma was being carried in my body. I know that for sure. That's more common than you think. Probably all of us have done that up to a point. Martha, this is a really good point you're making here. She says, grieving a live person, family or anyone, as in someone who hasn't passed away, is extremely difficult, even when you know you must. And she is 100% on point. We can all relate to that, right? Bonnie says, does taking depression meds help or natural cures? Like I said, it helped me get over the top, you know, get over the hump a little bit, but then it became a problem. I couldn't feel anything at all. So, you know, talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I can just tell you my own experience. But I do know that one of my clients has been sort of treating herself with her own research and doing a lot of different supplements and different things. And she might actually come at some point on my channel and talk about that. We'll see. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right, Nikki. We are all far from alone, and this channel proves it. We are a spanily. Yes, girl. Spanily. That's right. You know, what is it they say? Never betray the spanily. I don't know. I can't do an imitative impressions. But anyway, I'll stop. Okay. There was some, it's whatever. So the family. I moving on. Kelsey, hello. Kelsey says, I'm definitely in this phase right now, and I have been for about 2 years. Okay, Kelsey, listen, it might be time for you to go talk to your doctor to be safe, but if you are in this phase still after 2 years, you might want to start taking baby steps out of it. You know, you don't want to leave yourself stuck forever. And even if it just means, you know, that you go outside and you walk around the block once, or you go out to your car and you drive to a drive-through window, you know, anything. Just try one thing, one baby step, whatever that is for you. And just even taking one tiny bit of action often can set us on a chain of actions that will lead us to where we need to be. And it doesn't have to be in anyone else's time but your own. I'm not pushing you too hard. I'm just saying, think about taking one baby step, maybe today, you know, or tomorrow. Never know. Let's see here. Jen says, congratulations to Nikki. You rock, sunshine, and don't forget you're not alone. We got you. Yes, girl. Bella V says, I was hoovered and just shut down for 2 months now. My ex has ASPD, which is antisocial personality disorder, psychopathy. Often psychopaths and sociopaths have ASPD and NPD diagnosed. Good Lord. You know, if somebody is diagnosed, that means usually that they've been forced to be diagnosed because they've gone to prison or they've been in the hospital for some other thing and they were diagnosed that way. So, you know, or they've been forced to go into psychiatric care because they did something that maybe didn't get them thrown in jail, but they needed anger management or something. Yeah, I don't know your whole story and you don't need to tell it. I'm just saying to be diagnosed is to be pretty bad. Bella says, the abuse was insidious. Oh, I bet. She said, I can't be around people at all. I pray every day this passes. Let me say something to you, Bella. This is a situation that is one of the more extreme ones, it sounds like. And I've had several clients who have been in more extreme situations for different reasons. Sometimes they are capable of working through it without medical intervention or without the care of a doctor. But sometimes a doctor helps. And if you've already tried that, you know, maybe look into some holistic treatments. Polyvagal stuff, the vagus nerve stimulation thing can help. If you want to go to my channel after this and type in polyvagal theory or just Angie Atkinson, vagus nerve, anything like that, and you'll see some of that stuff. There are some good exercises you can do. Some of them include simple singing, singing, gargling, humming, that activates the vagus nerve, which is connected to all the different parts of your body. We hold a lot of trauma in the vagus nerve. It's a whole thing. Might want to do some research on polyvagal theory. I've taught, like I said, I talked about it in a video, but there's so much more to learn there. That might be really helpful for you. When I discovered that theory, and I worked with one of my clients who was just totally stuck, it really kind of unstuck her. You know, she was able to then move forward and learn and start to go away from feeling so stuck. But the thing is, polyvagal theory, exercises based on polyvagal theory, they don't resolve the problem. They simply open you so that you can. Because you become stuck, the nerve becomes, I can't remember if it loses tone is what they say about the nerve. And so if you do these exercises, and there are other things that you can do, medical interventions that can be done, but self-help things include things like that, deep breathing, singing, splashing cold water on your face, taking a cold shower, things like that will help that nerve get tone back. And that, again, it doesn't resolve any issue, but it does open you up so that you are capable of resolving the issues from there. So things to think about. Yeah, Bella, I feel for you. I really do. And I'm really sorry that you're stuck there. Bonnie says, yes, and times multiple family members at the same time in the case of family mobbing. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Hello, Jack Lumen. I'm happy to have you back. Nikki says, Bonnie, I wonder that too. Sometimes for racing heart and thoughts. I don't want to be on meds, though, because I'm detoxing off Suboxone. Oh, yes. Well, the racing heart thing is a lot of times anxiety, you know. But Nikki, I really would suggest if it's something that's going on and on for you, please talk to your doctor. There are non-addictive medicines that they can give you to help you. I mean, Prozac did not do anything as far as, I didn't feel any instant effects, and it wasn't like overnight. It took a whole month for it to get into my system. And then when it did, I just felt almost normal again. You know, I felt like, oh, maybe I'll put on makeup today. That's how I realized it was working. Because I got up and I thought, oh, I'll put on makeup, which I hadn't done in months, you know. And so it kind of went from there. So stuff like that. I'm not, again, I am not a proponent of any sort of, you know, anti anything, drugs in general. I'm not a proponent, but in that case, it did make me feel like I could survive. You know, it is what it is. Today, we know a lot more about, you know, natural substances and holistic healing. And so those are some things to think about as well. I did a video a while back with Brad, who does tapping with Brad. And again, I don't know for sure that tapping works for me, but I have heard a lot of positive things about that. There are lots of different possibilities as far as healing goes, but just why not just get checked out by a doctor to make sure there's not something else going on first? I just always think it's such a good idea. It's so important because a lot of times we neglect our health when we're in the middle of these toxic relationships anyway. So you never know. Just get a check. Maybe something super simple that can be resolved by, you know, taking vitamin K or something. I don't know. What is vitamin K? Is that a thing? Carotene? I don't know. Making things up. All right. Okay. Kelly says, I go through these phases and waves of this, and I have tried literally every way to beat it. I've been diagnosed with PTSD from the abuse and just started Abilify. Okay, this is a start. You know, Kelly, this is a start. And, you know, the one thing I want you to think about is instead of trying to beat it, try to give it less credence. Let it look less like a monster to you and more like an annoying little thing poking at you. Poke, poke, poke. Do you know what I mean? I guess what I'm trying to say is try to flow into the full version of Kelly, into the best version of Kelly, instead of fighting with that demon, so to speak. I don't mean literal demon. I'm just saying instead of fighting with that feeling, because it sounds like, you know, you're saying I've tried literally every way to beat it. So instead of trying to beat it, like, what if you joined it? What I mean is make allowances for yourself. So like I told you, I need an hour a day where I don't talk to anybody and nobody talks to me. And that sounds stupid, but it really helps me keep sane. You know, so maybe if you need an hour a day to be by yourself, or maybe if you need 3 hours to get ready to go out for a 1 hour thing, make yourself allowances. You know what I'm saying? Try to stop beating yourself up. Try to stop feeling like you're fighting against something, and instead try to flow into your truest self. I know that sounds a little woo-woo, but I'm telling you, girl, it's so much easier to flow than it is to fight. Think about it. Okay. And I don't want to in any way negate you or invalidate you. So please don't hear me saying that you're invalidated here. I think it's really great that you went to the doctor. I think it's really great that you're starting Abilify. I don't know about Abilify personally. I haven't tried that one. But I know that I've heard positive things. And I just want you to start to recognize that maybe what has happened is that because of the horrific abuse that you suffered, you are now in this whole other, you know, you're healing. You're trying to get through it. But at the same time, you're also moving forward, and you have the choice to decide where you go from here. You don't have to stay stuck there. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay. Yeah, see, Martha says, I do not do well on depression meds, and I've been on anxiety meds for too long, trying to get tapered off years of therapy. Yeah, and I think that is a valid point. Not everyone does well on depression meds or anxiety meds or any meds at all. That's what, you know, but again, whatever you're doing, see, Martha's doing it right. She's tapering off, but obviously that, you know, you have to get to the place where you can breathe, you know, and you have to find a place within yourself where you feel safe. And this is what it all comes down to. The polyvagal nerve thing I mentioned, or the vagus nerve, the polyvagal theory thing I mentioned earlier. Ultimately, we don't feel safe because we have been through what we have been through. A lot of us, especially when we've been in the more extreme situations, never felt safe, don't know what it feels like to feel safe. And so when you're going through this, you know, take the time to learn about that, but also look into polyvagal theory, look into these exercises, talk to your doctor about it. You know, don't just give up on yourself. Like, explore all the options. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Joy says, I am in this phase also. I used to be the first person calling everyone to go out. Now I just leave the house to pick up my daughter or go to the pharmacy. Yeah, that's kind of exactly where I was as well. Yeah, Joy. And Kelly says, I do take anxiety meds. Hey, Ars Longo, welcome. Yeah, so again, number one, stop beating yourself up above all. And number two, you know, move forward. I don't see E-Rock today. I'm worried about E-Rock. E-Rock, if you watch this video later, give me a thumbs up if you're still good, okay? All right. Yeah, Kelly says they barely help. Well, Kelly, maybe you need to be talking to your doctor about that. If they're not really helping very much, maybe there's something else that they could do. Or maybe you want to look into some holistic healing stuff. But whatever you do, just don't feel alone and know that you're not alone. Everybody here and everyone on my channel, everyone in the groups on Facebook and off Facebook, we've experienced some form of what you experienced. And I think just knowing that you're not alone, knowing that, you know, and again, I know there are different levels. There are those people who experienced, you know, psychopathic, horrific stuff. And then there are those who, you know, had a narcissist who was just really horrible to them verbally and emotionally and everything in between. You know what I mean? So don't discount your own experiences or anyone else's experiences, but recognize that on some level, a lot of these people do feel you and understand where you're at, even if some of their situations may not have been as dramatic or significant, or I shouldn't say significant, I should say as extreme as what you've been through, but know that you're not alone. And some of them have. Don't misunderstand me. I've heard some horrible stories from clients and people, you know, who have contacted me outside of YouTube and people who have all the things. So just keep your chin up and know that you're not alone. All right. I am about to switch over to the other channel. I'm going to take about a 10-minute break, 10 to 15 minutes. And then we're going to go over and we're going to talk with Lise over at Narcissistic Abuse Recovery. Let me just pull the link for you right now so that you can pull that up. It's the channel's called Narcissistic Abuse Recovery by Queen Being, but hold on 1 second, and I will pull it up for you and send you I'm going to put a link in the chat for us here so that we can all do this together. Now, if I can just only find that, there I am. Okay. All right. So if you guys give me about, you know, like I said, you're welcome to stay here and chat until YouTube tosses you off, but I will be, and I know, I just realized that's something that means something bad in England, for British people, so if you are, I apologize, I didn't mean it like that, but until YouTube decides you can't be here anymore, and then come on over to this channel link that I'm just now popped into the chat, and I'll be there live in 10 or 15 minutes with Lise, all right, and until then, big hugs and love to you all. Please know that you're not alone. Please know that you've always got your Spanily. I'll see you guys later today, you know, 10, 15 minutes from now. And I'll see you again on Monday right here on this channel. So big hugs and love to each and every one of you. As always, thank you so much for being part of my day and a part of my life. Thanks for letting me be a part of yours. I'll see you soon.